praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning. It is so good to worship God, and I just really sensed a breakthrough. I think that's what happens with worship. You know, it just breaks through and it allows the Holy Spirit. When we sing and when we open our hearts to God, it allows the Holy Spirit to just take away the fear and the dread and maybe the anger or the unforgiveness. I don't know, whatever it is that you fight with in your life. I think we all of us are fighting with something, you know, from time to time. Worship is such a great way to just see the walls start coming down. And it's really our prayer today. And I believe it's what God's heart is for you today, is that whatever walls there are that need to come down in your life, that they're going to come down. And no one knows better than, I guess, God, but you do too, what those walls are. And, you know, maybe it's you just don't feel very good about yourself, or you're struggling with whatever it is. The walls can come down because there is victory in Jesus Christ. And we got to believe that, right? Can I hear an amen to that? All right, because if we don't believe that, there really is no reason to get together anymore. Like we do often, I want you to stand up. I'm really glad you're here today. Let's welcome the people around you. Let's make sure we have a good, warm welcome. We are glad, glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Okay, why don't we try to get the class to behave again? Yeah. All right, class. Hopefully you feel welcomed in this place. Amen? There is such important that we warmly welcome each other. We're going to worship together, and you're going to be sitting and singing together. It's good. It is good. And can you say today, it is well with my soul? Anyone listening? Woo! All right. Why don't you find a seat? I will hand out detentions. All right. I just want to say how glad that Crystal and I are to be home again. And, you know, even just getting some of the welcomes this morning, it's just overwhelming. I don't even know what to say. I get the hugs, and even some people I haven't even met before, they came and gave me a hug this morning. So thank God that we are part of a community. Amen? Thank God that you belong. Thank God that we belong. And if you feel like you don't belong, I'm going to tell you right now that you're wrong. You do belong. You belong here. You belong to Jesus. And we're going to do everything we can to be a body that stands together. Amen? That's important. There's only one thing that the Bible really says, only one teaching of Jesus that really drives everything we do, and that is love one another. Amen? Amen. And it isn't easy. It isn't easy, but it's really what he says we need to do. Love one another. John talks about it
in the first Gospel of John, and Jesus talked about it many different times. We've got to love each other. We've got to love our neighbor as ourselves. I just wanted to start off this morning by thanking you for loving me. I know that hasn't always been easy to do either, but thank you for that. As you know, and I'm not going to speak about this very long because I'm going to have a chance to do that in weeks to come, and I want to save time for Barry, and Preacher Don is preaching today, and I tell you, we've been waiting for that for 5 years, so I can't wait. I came all the way back from Rio to hear Don preach, so this is good. This is really good. Hey, yeah, big hand to God. Thank you, Lord. And I see Tim's doing good, and I heard from Sonny yesterday that he's doing well, and they have a new place to live, and there's so many good things that God's doing, and if we forget to thank him, and Ricky is doing well, praise God. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, comes from above, every good and perfect gift. We were in Rio. That was a true thing. Some of you know that. My son was playing in the Olympics, so yeah. That was crazy. And I just have a couple thoughts about that, and then I want to turn it over to Barry, and I'll have other times to talk about that in the future, but it was cool. Like, we had a great time. We were in Rio de Janeiro, and we were there with four of my five sons were there. The youngest one couldn't be there because of their baby. But I just thank God for the opportunity to be there and to watch him play. And I guess just one of the thoughts that I came home with was just there's just always this conflict between the ideal, what God says, here's the ideal, and what we do with the ideal. God's, for example, sports. I think sports is a great way you can worship God, just like you can with music or you can with art or poetry, that God says, here's another way that you can, I want to see what you can do, and you can use your bodies to exalt me. And I think, actually, God enjoys the Olympics. I think, really, on one level, he does, where he wants to see what we can do with the bodies he created. And I think he cheers us on. And especially if we're believers, what we do is we want to do it to the glory of God. So we do our best, just like we would with music or we would with art. Right, Rick? Or anything like that. But the problem with us is that we corrupt it. Even though God's ideal is, he says, just run to the glory of God. He says, jump to the glory of God. But we wreck it. It gets poisoned. The sport itself becomes God, and it's so easy in idolatry, right? And that was really evident, I think. And I mean, I find it in my own life. Sometimes sports becomes idolatry. We like it too much. It becomes the purpose rather than the means to the end of worshiping God. But God created us for that. He created us to worship, and it was great to be there, even though you see that conflict. The same is true, I think, in the religion in Brazil. Many of you know that there's this great big statue. It's actually deemed now as one of the seven new wonders of the world. It said, Christ the Redeemer. It's 98 feet high and 92 feet wide, and it's this beautiful sculpture that they don't even know how it could have been done. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. The crazy thing is, I mean, that was done back in the 20s when that was sculpted. The crazy thing is, on almost every corner and every vendor comes down on the beach, and you can buy a little Jesus that's this big with his arms out, you know, and they flash the lights, and you can buy a Jesus glow light, and you can buy a little, you know, the arms are out. And so it's sort of the same thing I was saying before. What it's meant, it's just a tourist attraction. It's lost the ideal. It's Jesus the Redeemer. You know, this should be about something that really means something. This should be about Christ. It's about his blood. It's about, you know, and that was the original intention. That's really all I'm trying to say this morning. That was the, there we go. I got someone who's quicker than I am. The original intention was to give glory to God. The original intention was to build something that people would come to and they would worship the real and the living God. And it's turned into, you know, just a, you get these little plastic Jesuses. They're everywhere. You can buy them on a string. You know, you can carry them around, and it's not what it's supposed to be. And I just wanted to sort of start with that today and remind you that God calls us to authenticity. He says, I want whatever it is in you, I want it to be real. And I'm going to make it real. I'm going to make it real. If it's not real in your life, then it's either not going to last and you're going to go somewhere else or you'll take up some other sport or card game or something other than church, or you're going to submit to me and it's going to be the real adoration of a real heart that is willing to surrender to me. And I'm going to break you if that's what it takes. I'm going to shape you. I am the potter. I'm not done with you. But what I want, I only want one thing. I want it to be real. I want this to be genuine in your heart. And I will not settle for anything less than 100% authenticity. And where it's not 100%, I am going to refine you. I'm going to change you. I am going to pound it out of you if I need to. I will. And it's only because of one thing that I'll do that. It's because I love you. It's because I love you. That's a challenge. And I just want to remind you that God is real. He wants you to be real, but be assured of this today, that he is the genuine article. He is the living God. He is risen from the dead. He has conquered sin. He has forgiven us. He has forgiven us of all of our transgressions, and he doesn't remember them anymore. And I'm going to end on this note, and then I know Barry's probably going, man, how long is this guy going to go on for? But this is, I just got to do this because it's just going to burst out of me otherwise. But that God answers prayers. And if you're crying out to God, you're in a good place. If you're hurting or if you're broken, you're in a good place. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, God. Okay, so I'm sorry, this is embarrassing. Tell me your name again. Jessica. Thank you, God, for what you've done in Jessica's life. Jessica, you listen to me. You belong here. You belong to Jesus, and you are a different Jessica than you were 100 days ago. Amen? Okay. And part of that really ties into what I'm trying to say is it's about prayer. I know you've been praying, and I'm just going to tell you this today, that he's a real God, and he hears your prayers. Some of you might remember this, maybe not many of you, but about 4.5 years ago, my son, who played in the Olympics, we were still at the Buffalo, and he was living with us that summer, and he decided that summer, he said, Dad, I don't want to become a teacher. He'd been training to be a teacher. He had one more year of school. He says, I'm going to become a professional beach volleyball player. I said, oh, no, you're not. What are you talking about? You've already played enough volleyball in your life. He said, no, I want to do this. I'm not done. I think I can do this. And I said, man, you've got to get yourself a real job, buddy. But, no, after a little bit, he was 25 years old back then, and he's a man. And he said, I want to do that. And in that particular one Sunday morning in the Buffalo, he came to the front, and many of us laid our hands on him and prayed that God would grant him what he needed. God would give him favor and success, whatever that means in God's terms, that God would keep him safe because he's in a bad environment. There's nothing but beach and bodies and booze and all that stuff. You can't even imagine how dark that. It looks like a real light, wonderful place. It's a dark, dark place. We prayed for protection over him, and God is faithful. God has heard our prayers. I got to quit here. Barry, you want to come up? This is Barry. Barry is just a wonderful man of God, and he's one of our house leaders. I know we're working on getting more guys in the second Lazarus house. I want you to know, Barry, I pray for you, and I know that after today, after you speak, there's going to be a lot more people praying for you. This is a very powerful ministry. And I know we're going to hear something great about what God's done in your life.
Good morning. Oh, our God is so great. Hey? Just want to start off with a verse from Galatians, or a few of them. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature's desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Well, this is my story. I was born in an alcoholic home where mom and dad didn't think they could have any children. So they adopted my brother. The only one they were able to adopt is a First Nations boy. That's the only one they qualified for. Well, 3 years later, I came along, natural birth. Belonged to them, but my dad didn't think so. So as far back as I can remember, 4, 5, they'd go out drinking, come home fighting. Mom would be getting the snot beat out of her by dad because the fights were about me being not as by, he thought I wasn't his child, right? So while mom was getting beaten up, brother was beating me up because I was the cause of the problem, right? I was the cause of the arguments. So a few years later, mom couldn't handle it anymore. So she left. But she left me with dad and brother. And, Dad, first of all, he took off on a 2-month drunk and left us kids alone. And then the only thing he said to us is, you better go to school, else the welfare is going to come and take you. So he came back, and we bounced around from town to town for a while. We ended up in a place called Houston, B.C., where I grew up most of my life. So in the meantime, Dad never laid a finger on me, but he was just full of mental abuse. He just called me every name in the book, and I was just a piece of garbage to him. And brother, he encouraged brother to keep on beating me up, and he used to set up fights to entertain his friends. And of course, I'd lose all the time. And so this carried on. Like, I had lost contact with my mom for about 7 years and finally came in contact with her again. So I went and moved in with her for a year, and I got a job right away. I was, 12 years old, I guess. Well, when I got this job, there was a man there in his 50s, I guess. After work, he took me in the back and, he raped me. And then the next day I went to work. Well, he gave me money to keep my mouth shut. Next day I went to work, he raped me again and again. and again. So I quit. And Mom asked me why I quit. I didn't tell her. It was too shameful. So I stayed with, I was staying with my mom for a year. But after that, I started boxing. And did really, really good at it. I had 56 fights, 55 wins, 32 knockouts. I seen my brother's face every time I was fighting. And they were going down. These were 3 2-minute rounds. So anyhow, I had this idea to go back home to Houston and see my brother, get off the bus, and I was just going to give him one. Well, that never happened because he smiled at me and my heart melted. So I'm not following this at all, so you've got to excuse me. So anyways, I get back home, and my dad had remarried. And he used to go to camp as a logger. And while he was in camp, I was weightlifting, boxing. I was in good shape. I looked good. My stepmother was drunk one night, and she came downstairs, and she raped me. And I didn't think it was rape because, you know, I enjoyed it, right? So that happened a few times. But then to look my dad in the eye after that, I couldn't do it. So at the age of 15, I moved out on my own. I was cooking for a few years by then, and was able to support myself, and I was trying to go to school, but didn't much. So then I got a job as a logger, and I made tons of money. So I got into cocaine, and I got into drinking a lot, acid, you name it, I got into it. And I looked in the mirror one morning, and I said, who is that I'm looking at? I didn't even know who I was anymore. So where do I go? I joined the military. I knew there was no drugs allowed there. So, but in the military, they promoted alcohol. So I became very good at drinking. And first year in the military, I found a woman and I married her and had a kid a year later. And things were going along okay. And then we cleaned out the closet, and there's like 500 vodka bottles in there. And so she objected, and I started hiding my booze. And anyways, it came to a head while I was in the military, and I went for help. I broke down. I was on an exercise. I had gotten really drunk and entered a beauty contest. And the next day I had bounced another rent check, and I was going to lose my place, and my wife and kids were going to leave. And so I sobered up in the military. Well, short time after sobering up, found out my wife and I really didn't know each other. And she didn't really like me, and I don't know if I liked her. But so we split. And then I found myself in a state where I was so alone, so lost and alone. I didn't know that, I don't think I ever heard the word Jesus. I heard the word higher power in AA. So anyways, I was living in Calgary, and the only place I know to go is Houston. So I'm driving over to Columbia Ice Fields. While I'm driving, it was warm. It was a nice warm day. It was just dusk. I started to pray. I didn't know who I was praying to, but I was praying. And then all of a sudden, I got tingles throughout my whole body. And they lasted a good 5 minutes. And then I had a flushing sensation going through. And then I had a passenger. Wow, eh? A passenger. Kept me company all the way from the Columbia Ice Fields all the way to Houston. That's about 8 hours. My dad had long passed away. My brother had passed away. So I get to Houston. My stepmother had a boyfriend that was just on fire for the Lord. So we do the sinner's prayer right then and there. I went to church for the first time in my life. They hooked me up with the church back in Calgary. I got baptized. And then, I'm just going to skip backwards a little bit. I had 12 years of sobriety after I sobered up. But it sucked. I didn't know the Lord. You know, it was terrible. I was just white-knuckling it. So anyways, get back to Calgary, start going to church. I got baptized. I never had a community underneath me. Never had anybody I could turn to. So I fell back in my old ways. But this time I got into crack cocaine. And it wasn't long before my house turned into a crack house. And it was such darkness. Tried to extricate myself. I had tried to kill myself several times in my life. But, you know, Lord had saved me so many times. So many times. He has a purpose for me. And I hope you can see He has a purpose for every one of you. So in that first 6 months of doing crack cocaine, I had a great bank account. I had a great bank account. I had about 80 grand in there. Lasted 3 to 6 months. I was broke. So I met a girl in detox. She had lots of money. I followed her to Sylvan Lake. My spiritual mom, who is here today, her son, Pastor Julian. After 5 years of complete drunkenness, I made a call to Gospel Chapel and cried out for help. A couple days later, Pastor came along, talked with us. He knew right off we were toxic together. So he had me in tears. I broke down. I was done. I was on a suicide mission, right? I was going to kill myself with alcohol. Well, lo and behold, I got kicked out of... She kicked me out for the umpteenth time. And I was living in my truck. And my spiritual mom took me in. And I lived there until I went to Teen Challenge. At Teen Challenge, I was inundated with the Bible, the Word of God, His Word. And I came to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And all the blessings that are rolling in and that are keep rolling in. And all I got to do is keep my eyes on Him. Stay into the Word. Be obedient. I got somebody to love on me every day. I wake up in the morning, put my feet on the floor. I say, thank you, Lord. You know, I get tingles all day long. I get to help people today. I got a ministry. Wow, eh? So I'm going to just end this with a verse from Isaiah that you probably all heard before. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. One more thing. Did you know most birds hide when a storm comes, but eagles fly into storms because they know they can soar higher on the winds than they could ever do on their own. So why don't we all be eagles? Amen.
That's awesome. Good job. Awesome. Let's pray for this brother. Amen. Thank you, God, for this eagle. I thank you that he is soaring and that you have given him a ministry, that you give him hope. Thank you, Lord, that even in the eye of the storm, you're there and that your love surrounds us. I just pray for Barry that you're going to equip him for everything that he needs. We hear about the story that he came out of, his past, his childhood, and just the tragedy of that. But, Lord, you are greater than that. You are greater than where we've come from. And, Lord, we just would pray for him today, God. Just equip Barry. Fill him with the power of your Spirit. We pray for the men who you're going to bring under his mentorship, that they're going to turn to Jesus. They're going to know Jesus. They're going to be discipled, to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen.
Can I just say one more thing? I just wanted to, I missed something in this. You know, the old man died in me. And my childhood, everything in the past, it's like it never, ever happened. It has absolutely never happened. Amen.
Amen. All right. I don't know where else you get that, but here. I don't get that anywhere else. So thank God for testimonies and for real stories, the authentic faith. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you change our lives. Thank you that in spite of how we maybe were raised, in spite of the father that we had, that you give us victory and wholeness. Chris, I'm going to ask you to say something in a minute. I know you're not ready for this, but I think we need to hear just a couple words about the Father's heart. Because what Barry was saying today, I think really fits in with that. And I believe that even today, there maybe are some of us here today who have similar kind of childhoods. Maybe you had a dad or a mom who was abusive or alcoholic, or you're just wounded. And to hear today that there's hope. I just felt already when Barry was speaking, I know Kirsten, that you have no preparation for this, but once you come up here, I want you to just tell us a little bit about Father's Heart Ministry and Pam and Alf, who are going to come in October. We're going to have a weekend of Father's Heart Ministry helping us to find healing from the woundedness that some of us have really experienced. I hope this is okay with you.
What would you say if I said no? Yes, I'm really excited about our friends that are coming. They live in Abbotsford, and we have been with them several times when they hold seminars on healing the wounded heart, because it is in the past, but sometimes things happen in the present, and we discover that, yes, it happened in the past, but we're still reacting as if it's with us. It's somebody used the illustration of somebody who went to war and had post-traumatic stress from the war, and a vehicle backfired, and he's down on the ground in fear, thinking he's being shot at. So, yes, his war experience was in the past, but something has happened in his heart. So when he hears a loud noise, he's still on the ground thinking he's being shot at. And when we have brokenness in our relationship with our fathers, I didn't spend a full day with my father until I was 25 years old, and that's a whole story in itself. But there's things in how I react today. It could be with my husband. It could be, it can be anything. And something happens today, and I think, why am I reacting that way? And then when I ask the Holy Spirit, he will show you, or he shows me. What one example was that I said, God, why is it that I can believe for everybody else around me that you answer their prayers, but I have such a hard time believing that you're actually answering my prayer? Because we do transfer our views of our fathers so easily onto God. Well, instantly I remembered something that happened when I was about 6 years old. Like I said, I had no relationship with my father, but my mom would beg him. They had broken up before I was born, but my mom would beg him sometimes. We were very poor, so he would beg him to give us something, and she had been begging my father, nagged him to give me a bike. And so he had dropped off a bike, and it had been welded together. It was an old, he was well off, but he gave me an old used bike that had been welded together. And I was a chubby little kid, and I got on this bike, and it broke on my first bike ride. And God showed me that I had transferred that experience onto him. So yes, God might maybe give me something if I really twist his arm, but it might not even last. It might break. It's not going to be good. And yet I didn't believe that for other people. So in that process, I just asked God, first of all, I had to choose to forgive my father for giving me a useless bike. And then I had to ask God for forgiveness for transferring that experience onto him and believing that that's how he treats me. And then I had to learn the truth of God's love and how generous he is and how kind he is and how very much he wants to bless us and give us everything because of his love.
Okay, that's good. So Pam and Alf are coming. I believe it's the third week in October. Get ready for that. And Crystal and I have actually spent some time with them, I think 3 sessions, and it's been really helpful. So we're excited that they're coming. They have a ministry in Abbotsford called The River. Don, Pastor Don is coming up. Can I pray for you? Yeah, okay. God, in this man I see the genuine article and a true friend and someone who really loves your word and someone who's filled with amazing joy all the time. So just speak through him by the power of your spirit and by the word of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Dad. Thank you. So what Barry was saying, a little bit about how the Word of God, he got into a good session with the Word of God at one point in his life. I can't remember the name of that little, yeah, easy for you to say, Teen Challenge. And it was the Word of God that shook me or brought me to Christ. And there's a story there in itself where I'm probably not going to get into too much, but you know, it's the Word of God was what God used to draw me to him. I'm really grateful for Romans chapter 2, verse 4. God says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He leads us to him. He leads us to repentance. Oh, yeah, it's not because we're so good. No. So, I'm not sure how long this is going to go. So, you know what? If you're looking at the clock at some point and you're thinking, oh, man, this guy is not shutting up, you are free to go at any time. You have liberty. You have liberty to, you know, do whatever you need to do. So don't feel obligated in any way. I am not a preacher. Stan's calling me a preacher. Yeah, no. All we're going to do here today, seriously, is we're going to look at the Word of God. The Word of God was just so pivotal for me. And that's all we're going to get into here is the Word of God. And my purpose, my desire here is only that your love for the Word of God might increase here today. For whatever level it is at right now, may it increase, you know, a little bit. So, that's all it's all about. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm putting Chad to the task here. He's going to be firing up scriptures, and we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. There is no other word. There is no other book like the Word of God. It is what God is saying here. You probably, if you've read the Bible for a little bit already in your life, you probably know that this is really true. Like it penetrates. Like you're reading along. Sometimes you read something that you've read 32 times already, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just slaps you in the face, and it just cuts you, and it leads you a little bit closer to God and to what he wants for you. It penetrates. Yes, and it judges our thoughts and our attitudes. And I would, like I say, I want to encourage you to, my purpose, if things go good today, you will have a little bit stronger desire to get into the Word of God. If you read the Word of God more, it's not going to make God love you more. God doesn't love you more because you read his Word more. You love God more when you read God's Word more. That's what it's about. God loves you, and he loves you no matter where you're at. And he keeps loving you. And he wants you to have in a deeper relationship with him. So that's what it's all about. It's about your relationship with God will grow because of it. So, you know, what do we give our attention to? I challenge you. I encourage you to put some more of your attention to the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. The Word became Jesus. Now, how that happened, I don't know. But Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. It's like one and the same. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus. Yeah, so pick up the Word of God. You're picking up Jesus. You're handling and you're growing in your relationship with Jesus as you spend time in the Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. It works in you who believe. Effectively. Second Peter 3, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, or found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in him his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. The writings of Paul the apostle are considered, they're not considered, they are their scripture. They're not just, you know, Paul said this or Paul said that. No, God said this and God said that. Like so much of the Old Testament, the New Testament was written by Paul. And they are scripture. They are the word of God. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, where am I? Am I still on the right spot here? Yep, sorry. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get into the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says, that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Well, isn't that going on? Some will depart from the faith, and giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. When I was converted, I started reading the NIV, and so that I like the way, or I'm used to the way that the NIV puts it. The NIV says, "Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Watch your life and your doctrine. Don't like we read earlier. Don't pay attention to deceiving spirits. There are going to be people that are going to lie to you and mess up what you think and what you know and what you understand, what you believe about God and about His, how He loves you and what His desire for you. There is an enemy at work that wants to destroy our relationship with God. And there are these deceiving spirits that want to come in and get us messed up, get us away from God. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. And how else are you going to do it unless you're in the Word? That's enough said. Acts 17. These were more fair-minded. He was talking about the Bereans. So here's Paul. Here, Acts, my favorite book in the New Testament is the book of Acts, and it's basically a historical record of what was going on 2,000 years ago in the land of Israel and then other places nearby. So this one group of people, the Bereans, this is who they're talking about when he says these people. So these, the Bereans, were more fair-minded. And again, the NIV says they were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So can you imagine that, eh? Can you imagine Billy Graham? Some fancy big name preacher come in here and he's up here preaching. Let's say it's Billy Graham. Like the guy's got a 5-star reputation, right? But these people were commended because when they were listening to their Billy Graham at the time, they were still checking the scriptures daily to see if what he was saying was right. And that's what we need to do. We need to know that whether or not you know, when I'm up here talking, that it's solid, that it's, yeah, thanks. You're decent. Thanks, man. So the Bereans were more fair-minded. They were of more noble character because they searched the scriptures daily to see if what he was saying was true. So what's true? What's reliable? What's made up? You know, when I was growing up, I heard this. One of the things we heard from our parents was, God loves those who love themselves. You got a scripture reference for that, please? Uh-uh. Oh, and then another one I heard here not that long ago. Did you hear? I've heard this one a little bit. It kind of ticks me off. Satan can't read your mind.
Oh, yes, he can.
Well, maybe he can, maybe he can't, but give me a scripture reference. I wouldn't mind checking that out. Anyways, I digress. So are you, my challenge or my question to you is, are you a Bible believer? Yeah. If you're a Bible believer, then take a Bible position. Take a Bible position on whatever the topic is. Take a Bible position on prayer. Take a Bible position on what church should look like. Take a Bible position on marriage. Take a Bible position on raising kids. Take a Bible position. That's my challenge. So all of that. So now, that was my introduction. You guys are here till 3, right? So no, that's right. You're free to go whatever you want. So I'm gonna get into Matthew chapter 5 and a little bit into 6 now, okay? And all I want to do is I absolutely am not preaching. I just want to read the word and talk about it a bit. Okay, that's all we're gonna do here for the next little bit. So, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, stop, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus was well known. Like he wasn't some guy sitting in his underwear in the basement punching out messages on the internet. This guy was, people knew him. There was thousands of people that were following him. He was a real guy in history 2,000 years ago in a real place, face to face with people. They knew who he was. Like, he wasn't, this Jesus was a real guy in history. He wasn't just some made-up story. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountainside, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Are you mourning right now? You will be comforted. You will be comforted. Maybe you're not right now, but you will be. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you are striving for, if you're seeking, if you're craving, if you're desiring righteousness, God Almighty is on your side. The Creator of heaven and earth is on your team. He's working with you. If that is what you are striving for, he's right there with you. He's got your back. He's going to bat for you. He's with you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want to be shown mercy. Don't you? I want to be shown mercy. I want God to be merciful towards me. The problem is that I'm not real good at being merciful towards others. I don't I'm not real good at understanding people that had different upbringing than me, maybe even people from different countries than me. I'm just not real good at it. And you know what it really, and here's the core of it. I just don't like it when people sin differently than I do. That's what it's really about. I don't like it when people sin differently. Well, you sin the same way I do. Okay, you know, we can get along and stuff, all right? But I'm not real good at being merciful and understanding of others that just are coming from at a different angle than I am. But thank you, Jesus, that he knows us. And anyways, carrying on. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. So I had fun with this. So what's the opposite of being a peacemaker? And one word that came to mind was contentious. So if I'm contentious or I'm argumentative, I am not a peacemaker. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 and through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Hey, I think Barry used this one earlier. Hey, so now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you also in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the peacemakers are called sons of God, and the contentious ones are not. It's just messed up. Being contentious is in the same grouping as murderers, adulterers, you know, and all, you know, what we think are the big sins. So is contentious. Jealousies. Selfish ambitions. These people are all riding on the same bus. This is in the same group. So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And I read this and I go, serious? Be exceedingly glad. When they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Come on. So in Acts chapter 16... Here's a couple of guys that just got tossed into prison. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Stop. Beaten with rods. Like, that is brutal. How did they live? They were... And when they had laid many stripes on them, so they didn't just get clobbered once. Like, they were beaten with rods with many stripes. Oh, it's gruesome. Like, it's gruesome what they went through. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Okay, prison, right? And prison would be comfortable 2,000 years ago. Prison would be really comfortable. Like, a couple months ago, we met this guy that was locked up in East Germany because he was trying to escape East Germany when it was still communist. And he's in the can, and he's Germany. Oh, man. I asked him a bit about what food was like, and what he described was not food. And living conditions, yeah, plumbing would have been nice. Now, that was East Germany in the 1900s, right? Now go back 2,000 years ago. I think one of the luxuries would be having the rats clip your toenails in the middle of the night. Like, seriously. So now they got, so these guys, they're hammered with, beaten with rods many times, and then they're locked up, and then they're also also shackled, we read here. But he put them in an inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Yeah, because that'd be real comfortable. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, oh, this just blows me away. So at midnight, Paul and Silas are what? Praying and singing hymns to God. Oh, man. So when we read earlier, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. These guys were living it. And I think it was Stan. Yeah, Stan was talking here this morning about, you know, the Olympics and, you know, the highest level to aspire to. And I that kind of hit me. That's kind of what the Word of God is like. You know, we're not there yet. Well, I'm not there yet. But this, God keeps wanting us to get better at loving him and obeying him. And yeah, he just wants us to keep getting better. And it's not so that, it's not so that he'd love us more. It's so that, you know, when we do, we love him more. Anyway, yeah, okay. 1 Peter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. You know, when I read this today, preparing for this today, I never caught this before. If you are insulted, verse 14, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. I would like the spirit of glory to rest on me. I don't think I'd like the persecution stuff so much, but I would really like the spirit of glory. You imagine the spirit of glory? Like, I'm not really sure what that would be like, but I wouldn't mind checking it out. The spirit of glory and of God resting on me? Oh. Yeah, I like that. You are the salt of the earth. Back to Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So he's talking about salt here, right? No. He's not talking about salt. You are the salt of the earth. He's using an analogy. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, what good is it? It's chucked. So he's not talking about salt. He's talking about you and I. 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's the Apostle Paul writing again, and I'm assuming it's towards the end of his life, ministry, I'm not sure but it sounds like it's towards the end of it, whatever the end of it is. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Keep up the good fight. Finish the race. Don't let that salt get unsalty. You are the light of the world. Back to Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, we do have a job to do. We need, God wants us to let our light shine. Well, we're not flashlights, right? We're not candles. He wants us to shine and to bring glory to him. We have a job to do. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walk worthy of the calling which you were called. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Acts chapter 26, 19 to 20. Therefore, King Agrippa, here's Paul. Here's Paul in Acts, he's on trial. And he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Yeah, I think God wants us to be involved. I think that a biblical faith, it's got some wheels underneath it. It's moving. It's doing something. A biblical faith has got something going on. Timothy chapter 2. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent. He's teaching them. He's saying this is what they should be doing. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. All that to say that I think God is asking the older women to teach the younger women. Anyway, just one of however many things. Anyways, God wants our faith to be exemplified somehow. There should be something going on, right? And then, if that is enough, go read James chapter 2. James chapter 2, 14 to 26, that there is, faith without deeds is useless, is what God says. James chapter 2. You could go spend some time in there. That's a fun place to be. Okay, so back to Matthew chapter 5. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy. Oh, and just a side note, just in case you're not clear, this is Matthew chapter 5 is a sermon that Jesus is giving to the multitudes. Just in case that wasn't clear. So here's Jesus speaking. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So what does that mean? Does that mean that like not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven? If you just peel ahead a couple of chapters to same book, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So back to Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I think there's a problem. It's a problem for us when we start cursing and dirting other people. And it's a problem for us. It's not so much a problem for the person that I'm slamming. It's a problem for me. Well, one thing that I think is just a little bit curious or even funny is that in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, when God has given the law to the Jews, one of the things that he told them was, do not curse a deaf man. Well, like as if he's going to hear it anyways, right? So what's the problem with cursing a deaf guy? Well, the problem is, I think it pours acid on us. You know, and so when I'm driving, I kind of wish Margaret wasn't here right now because, you know, when I'm driving down the road and I'm seeing these guys driving in ways that I wish they weren't driving. Yeah, I guess I need to stop that. It's a funny joke. Two kids are riding along with their mom and they say, "Mom, how come there's no bozos and idiots out on the road when you're driving, just when dad's driving?" Yeah. So the problem comes down on us. Like I don't think it's good for us when we're dirting other people. So yeah. So if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. God takes sin seriously. I know I don't. Maybe we don't take sin as seriously as God does. God takes it seriously. Like he wants us to take some serious action against sin and cut it off. Like get sin out of our life. That's what kind of strikes me here, is that God takes sin more seriously than I do. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So society and customs and values and norms are changing. Like our society is changing, and what people think is normal and cool and fine keeps changing, but the Word of God doesn't. The Word of God will stand forever. It doesn't change. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that, I switched into the NIV. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now that, for me, is another hard teaching. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Okay, I'm working on that. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. Yeah. Where are we at? It's coming up to noon, right? Tell you what, Chad. Let's jump ahead to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them. Well, I'm going to read just a wee bit ahead of that, okay? But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. So here's the what we've called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. There's been a lot of times where that has been my prayer. Not even all of that. Sometimes it's just Father. Because that's all I can get out. Sometimes I'm just so messed up and so tangled up. Maybe I'm dealing with fear, or maybe I'm just kind of overwhelmed, maybe is the word, with sin, or, you know, whatever. There are times when that has been my prayer. Father. It's a prayer of faith, because if I didn't believe, I wouldn't be saying Father. It's a prayer of faith, and sometimes maybe let me encourage you with that. Maybe that's all you need to just pray sometime. If you can't come up with some beautiful dialogue that could be written down and, you know, put up in lights, that doesn't matter. Just reach out to him, and he hears you. And like he said here just a minute before, he knows what you need even before you ask. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. He knows what we need even before we ask. Yeah, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. His name is holy, always has been, is now, always will be. His name is holy and is worthy of all our praise. Proverbs chapter 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord. Oh, that's a strong tower. Run to it and be safe. Now, I'm just an awesome story in the Old Testament. And it's not a story. It's a historical record. And I'll bet you've heard a little bit about it before, or a lot about it. There's a big guy. His name is Goliath. And I got the tape measure out. Somewhere I heard, and I don't know, maybe it's crazy, but somewhere I heard this dude was 9 feet tall. The bottom of that beam is 9 feet tall, is 9 feet up, okay? This guy's 9 feet tall, and he hates the Jews, and he hates everything about them, and he wants to kill every one of them, and all the guys that are with him, you know, they're on the same page. They'd like to push him into the sea, and then there's this kid. Well, he's a kid. I don't know how old the guy is at this point. The guy's name is David, son of Jesse, and I'm thinking he was a bit of a runt, because when the prophet came to David's dad looking for one of his sons to be the next king of Israel, his dad didn't bring David out. His dad, Jesse, brought out all the other guys, all his other sons, but he didn't bring David out. Now, I'm just guessing here, okay? I don't know, but I think it's because David was a bit of a runt. So you got David, however big he is. He was not 9 feet tall, okay? But this Goliath guy, he's 9 feet tall, and he's just like, he is a warrior. He means business, and his purpose in life is to kill, right? This guy is a machine. And so David gets out and he finds himself out on the battlefield facing this Goliath guy because nobody else in the Israel army wanted to, because they know they'd be toast. So David goes out. David goes out to attack this Goliath dude. So catch this. 1 Samuel 17, then David said to the Philistine, "You come at me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, sucker. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And he took him down. He took him down. David took this guy down. He came to him in the name of the Lord of hosts. Do not mess with, do not ever come against the name of the Lord. It's just not a good thing to do. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Your kingdom come. Yes, Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come. And let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Lord, let your will be done in my family's life. Lord, let your will be done with Rick and Kim in their life. God, let your will be done in Iris's life. God, let your will be done in Stan's life, in all of you. Lord, let your will be done in my life like it is in heaven. God, your will is done in heaven constantly. Like that, God, let your will be done in Tim's life. God, let your will be done in our life like that, like it is in heaven. Oh, Lord, let your will be done in our life like that. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, for they are many. Speaking for myself, they are many. As we forgive our debtors. Matthew in chapter 18, a little bit further on in the same book. Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Like, seven times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good passage, too. I'm not going to read it because I'm looking at the clock here and I don't want to go here all afternoon for your sake. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. That's a good passage, just about forgiving others. And lead us back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And there is an evil one lurking about. Oh, yeah. Psalm 10, verse 7. "His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength." God, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. So, Robin and Margaret and those of you who are leading worship, if you've got a song that can close us out, you can, yeah, start working your way here. In John chapter 14, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Oh, let me close with this. Out of Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who is first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Praise him. Praise Jesus.
Seek you, the more I find you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you today and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. God loves you. Amen. Good word. The more I seek you,